Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Sinner Genetic Living Radio is a conscious reality creation journey. Tune in as Rick and Grace Paris teach you the innovative approach and new philosophy that will shift your entire paradigm of what it is to be a human being. Sinner Genetic Living is a living, breathing, conscious experience. As a shaman for 20 years, Rick Paris has been guiding people to fuller existences since his first workshop in 1995. He is well-versed in a wide variety of healing arts, including being an Enneagram expert. Grace Paris serves synergetic living clients powerfully and beautifully by embodying the fundamental role of a feedback provider, graciously guiding people to their own realizations and higher purposes. On this show, Rick and Grace will share with listeners the key to unlocking the infinite potential of human consciousness in order to create a life of preference. Learn to author your own destiny with Synergetic Living Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Grace Paris, and I'm here with Rick.
Good afternoon. It's morning here. I know last week I said good morning.
So you're tuned in to Synergetic Living Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience a new philosophy, a completely new way to heal yourself, and a new approach to life. Every Friday on Synergetic Living Radio, we will have new and exciting solutions to everyday problems in this time of chaos and great change. And today, Rick and I are here to discuss patterns. I know I've brought this up in the past, but we're going to focus on patterns, why they occur, and how to move beyond them, even when you've lived with them for years. And at the core of this is change and achieving long-lasting, genuine change.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the ways that we work with people is in an ever-expanding universe, you know, there's a philosopher, Heraclitus, that had said, no man steps in the same river twice because he isn't the same man and it isn't the same river. In physical reality, if you really look at everything, no matter how much you would try, you cannot duplicate the exact same experience twice. So if you find yourself duplicating an experience more than twice or more, you're in a pattern, which really leads you to understand you're living in the past. So, of course, we could take that apart in detail and figure out what the reasons for the pattern are, you know, on a one-on-one, because as soon as you open the door to that, it's hard to discuss anything that people are going to relate to. Like, okay, you have to know that it's a pattern, but now what kind of pattern is it? Everybody has an individual reason for doing what they're doing. But, you know, oftentimes when you look back at the most frustrating things in your life have been patterns that have been, you know, maybe reproducing for years already. And what you'll notice about a pattern, because what's happening is you're growing and changing. The pattern and the thing that creates the pattern does not. So over time, the pattern will become painful. At first, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I just saw I did that again. And no big deal, right? But, you know, whatever time later, you're like, oh my God, not again. I'm doing the same thing. What is wrong with me? Because that's usually what people say first. What's wrong with me? Which is another situation that would have to be addressed, because the question being wrong with me is part of another pattern that's overlaid on that pattern. That's a pattern of shame. So when you ask yourself, what is wrong with me? That in itself is a different pattern. But when you're stuck in a pattern where you don't like something, the ways out of the pattern are always within the pattern itself. It's like you have to become a detective. You have to be able to say, okay, my pattern is I keep dating inappropriate men, and these men end up being untrustworthy, unreliable, or they're not stable in some way, right? So all these statements that you're going to make about the pattern are literally the pattern itself. It's just you don't understand it because you're framing it according to your experience. And since reality is a reflection of you, it's oftentimes, for instance, in the example I just gave, in relationships, we often, and many people know, and some people don't know at all, really, that relationships are a function of shadow aspects, typically, at the beginning. You know, the first week you meet somebody and it's like, oh my God, it's amazing. We're in love, you know, and 30, 60 days out, all of a sudden there becomes tension. Because at the beginning, your vibrations were separate. And they had beautiful pieces you were going after, and you had beautiful pieces they were going after. And then after you start to get together, the relationship becomes a separate item that lives on its own. Because really, when you're in relationship, the thing that you're creating together is the relationship, the two individuals. And so what happens is two individuals, once they get together, the patterns now overlap. So a problem somebody's having is equally the other person's problem, but not at all for the same reasons. And when we say, well, you know, you're projecting, you might be right, but if the person doesn't know what they're projecting, why they're projecting, where is that projection coming from, it can end up being a negative judgment that doesn't do anything except separate you while you're telling them and you know that you're right. So patterns are a function of you attempting to release something. So pattern has all the hints and clues in it in order for you to release it because it's you creating the pattern in the first place. So again, this is where if I'm talking to somebody, it makes a lot more sense than to hypothetically come up with reasons to prove this. Because what happens is every person, as you go down level, makes a different distinction or a different choice. So as you're going through the pattern itself, no two people express the pattern the same way, even though they're common threads. You know, a lot of times, since we often work with women and more, lately it's been interesting because that's been our primary focus is women in relationships thinking they're not with the right person because they're not spiritually deep enough and they don't really, you know, they're not really understanding what I'm trying to do here. And of course, there's patterns in the way of that not being a successful aspect of the relationship. It has nothing to do with the guy. And as long as you frame patterns into blame, the moment that you will blame a pattern, you have instantly lost your ability to look at it or change it. So the negative ego becomes a participant in these constricting patterns. So it's not just like, oh, just tell me and I can change it, because everybody's doing it differently. And in our system, recognition is the first step to change. Second step to change a pattern, first I have to recognize there is one. Sometimes it doesn't happen until people are in a tremendous amount of pain until they recognize the pattern. And then they can look back and go, oh my God, this has been going on since, you know, college.
Yeah, and actually, even that can be so confrontational because, like I said at the beginning, some people live in their pattern for years, 5, 10, 15, 20, I mean, 20 years, people will be going through the same stuff. And it's confrontational in the sense that when you finally do recognize it, you're like, okay, am I going to go through this or am I just going to live with it?
Yeah, and see, we also have patterns that we've been taught, no pain, no gain. That's a pattern. And if you want to learn and you think that, you know, in order to make me stronger is I have to go through certain painful experiences, which makes me more somehow, which it really doesn't. You go through a painful experience, it diminishes you and it diminishes your abilities. But if you want to frame it that you're stronger and stronger is better because of whatever reasons, you'll get hung up and you won't be able to heal the pattern. Not only that, you'll reinforce another pattern that there's no reason to pay attention to anything if I'm not in pain. So what happens is the other pattern runs, and between the two, I'm never able to get out. So understanding the pattern is really important. And a lot of people can understand very quickly that their pattern is painful or my pattern is crappy or it sucks. You'll see the negative aspects first. So even in our teaching, I go after the negatives first. Because why do you go after the negatives? Because until you can understand how to create positive patterns, all your patterns are a function of limitation. Physical right. reality, no matter how good it is a function of limitations. You're not going to manifest your higher self right in front of you. Not until you really understand how to do that. And who knows how long that could take. But so these patterns have multiple layers. So as we talk to somebody, we will address multiple patterns. We may not come up with a solution for those multiple patterns at the moment we discuss them, but they need to be pointed out in order to move through. So the pattern always has the hints and clues of your ability to break it down, because it is your reality and the pattern is precisely in place, because for you as the creator are creating a pattern that I'm capable of recognizing. You don't create a painful pattern that you're not capable of recognizing. The reason a pattern exists is to let you know that you're in the past. That's the realization that's supposed to happen, not to beat myself up, not to judge myself, but to just recognize, oh, okay, I'm in the past. So with that, I think we're going to take a break.
Right. Before we take a break, I want to give our listeners the number to call in. If there is something you want to discuss, like there's a pattern you already recognize and you're ready to move through it, 800-930-2819. And when we get back, we're going to dive into the steps of change. And if someone does call in, we'll just take you through those steps. So either way.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.
What is a brilliant culture and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you searching? Looking for a sign? A message you need to hear? From the great unknown? From the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are? The universe put someone here to talk to. Someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
We're back on Synergenetic Living Radio, and Rick and I are talking about unlocking constricting patterns. If you have a pattern you want to break free from, 800-930-2819. Give us a call. We're here. And talking about what we were, what we left off on, I'm curious to know, Rick always says that to have a memory is to go back and remember. You don't really have memories until something gets sparked, a memory gets triggered. And I wonder if patterns are kind of the same thing, where it's something to go back and gain of yourself to bring forward.
It is, because you're living in the past. And see, the past is only a function. I mean, of course, most people really think the past is concrete. It is what it is, and it's played out, and there's no changing it. Well, it's not true, because as you change, these things change. You know, these issues, these patterns in the past, because you got, like I tell you have 365 days a year,
right,
that you live. And how many of those days do you remember anything? Right. So in Latin, the word remember means to go back and put together. So the only reason that you'll go back and put anything together is because you've left a piece of yourself, or you potentially gained a piece. Something really positive happened that day, or something that limited me happened that day. So what you're doing essentially when you're in a pattern is you are, underneath it all, there is a subconscious limiting negative belief that is reoccurring because of some emotional trigger. So what happens is you have an emotion, like somebody does something that looks untrustworthy, and the next thing you know, you're, oh my God, I have to correct that. I have to make use of this. But no amount of rejection, reframing, suppressing, reformations, blame, entitlement, none of that will trigger any change. So what happens is, and I don't think I've really said this clearly yet, but there's four steps to change. And in that change, what's required is, the first is to recognize there's something at all there. So recognition is the first step. I see it. Recognition is the first step. The second step of change is understanding, what I was getting at before the break. You have to understand why that was there, because over time, the belief that you incorporated at the time was one to help you. But see, a belief is static, and you keep growing in spite of the belief. So eventually, that belief isn't going to be able to contain your reality anymore, so it starts creating pressure. You start seeing things breaking down. You create pressure. So as you're creating pressure, it starts becoming painful, because the arena that you're living in cannot be served. But you have to remember, as debilitating as that pattern might be, there was a time in your life that you put it in place for a reason to protect yourself. And if you don't understand the high side of the pattern, you have nothing to understand. You don't have enough information to release the pattern. Because you've got to be able to see the limitation, and you got to see through that for the luminous intent, is what I call it. You have to look underneath and see, what was the beautiful reason I decided to use this pattern? So strategy moves into the third position, which is forgiveness. Because once you understand it clearly, you'll know what you have to forgive about the pattern that you've been carrying. You'll know. But if you haven't got to the point where you emotionally understand, oh, I know what I did there. Oh, I've been doing that for so long. I didn't realize that's the arena that you have to be in order to incorporate forgiveness. You can't say, well, I get it. I understand it. I recognize it. I'm just going to forgive it already. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is an emotional experience from going from one place to another. And when you're free of that emotion, the reason that the pattern exists, then you can make a new choice. If you haven't gone through those steps and they're not clear, you're not going to get the change. You're going to go through this and you go, it's the same pattern. I'm still in the pattern because I really didn't understand enough pieces. Because as you move forward, you're going to carry the positive piece of that belief construct, or you're going to heal something that you have the capacity to do now that maybe you couldn't do then. So there's going to be something go on to release that pattern. And so you will know by the end of it what it is to forgive. And then we have a caller, Dylan from Oakland. And so I'm going to take that caller now. So, Dylan, are you there?
I'm here. I made it.
You nice. Made it. Thanks for tuning in, Dylan. Nice to hear your voice.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it. I'm so excited. So what do you have a question about today?
Well, so I was listening to you guys. I was like, I don't have any patterns. I was like, I think I'm good right now. And then I realized, I was like, oh, man, I don't want to go back to work right now because I'm on my lunch break. And then I was like, oh, no. I keep on getting into jobs that I don't, like, really like that much. Like, they're not terrible. There's always cool people. And it's never a horrible environment. I'm just bored, you know? Like, I'm always like, it almost feels like I got to put in these 8 hours and then I get to enjoy myself, like, fully, you know?
Right.
And I just kind of want to move into something that's, like, really fun. Like, I want to spend my day, like, when my energy is the highest, doing what I enjoy doing. You know, but I keep on getting these jobs, and like these jobs, like each one seems like a step up from the last one. But then
in what
never
way?
Like, I mean, I also feel like I can make this job cooler, but it's never like, like I'm really in it. I'm expressing myself fully. I love this.
Right. Well, you said something at the beginning, you know, which opened up this whole avenue, and you said something to the effect that I got to put in these 8 hours before I get to do what I want. Now, there's a lot behind that sentence, because that sentence is what you're making. The reason that sentence exists is the reason that you're not doing what you want. So somewhere you think that, well, I have to do my duty and obligations before I can have any fun. So there's a belief in there, right? And so then you got to take that apart. Now you got to say, well, what does that mean? What do I really mean by that? Like, I got to do this, and my jobs each time are stepping up, but I'm not emotionally feeling better. So I want to identify what aspect is stepping up. Is it better pay? Is that what you mean by stepping up? What do you mean?
Better pay, like, more things to do, more people to interact with. Like, it seems like I almost want to say, like, it becomes more complex than the last one.
Complex. And now, is that complexity interesting you? Is it interesting that it's the way that the complexity, like, pay is good, better, my responsibilities are going up? Is it because that's what I heard?
More responsibilities.
Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, I enjoy doing more. I enjoy taking on more responsibility and having a greater influence. But I mean, maybe ideally, like I like the way it sounds, but it's just not there yet. You know,
like the way
for
what
instance,
sounds.
Like I'll give you an example. Like right now. At my job, like, I'm sending out, like, a lot of emails and, like, calling a lot of people. And, like, it's kind of like a finance job where I got to, like, call people and get them to pay on the product. And
sales
I like
calls,
figuring
cold
out,
call.
Like, why people haven't paid or what we have to do to get the money in. That part is interesting to me. But there's a lot of lag time, you know, where it's like, do I really have to be here for 8 hours? I could do this in 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, like, I enjoy it, but then I don't at the same time.
Okay. So what you'd want to know is there's your choice around your vocation isn't complex enough. So what's happening is there's some limiting beliefs in there that you're compensating for, right? Because I'm willing to give up some fun aspects in place of what, right? So that's what we'd want. Like, okay, yeah. Why would I choose a job that isn't overall exciting to me? Well, if I have a belief in place that, hey, you just got to do what you got to do. You know, nobody really likes what they're doing all the time. You just got to take care of business. Something to that effect. Would you say that's going on?
Totally, yeah. That's been going on since, like, kindergarten.
Right, exactly. You know? So the message that you got as a kid was, you don't get to do what you want all the time.
Yeah.
So now that's a belief. So you're willing to take something because I have a belief. I have a belief that you can't do what you want all the time. So of course I got to choose a vocation that doesn't allow me to do what I want all the time, because I wouldn't know how to receive that. I wouldn't know how to receive that I could be happy all day, all the time. I'm not even looking for a job that way. Do you know what I mean? You're not really looking for a job that's going to satisfy you completely. Now, with that said, if you're not an awakened adult, the only measuring devices you have to choose your job will be that of the child or the adolescent, the way that they did it. And if you see, that's kind of partially what you're making that decision. Since kindergarten, I knew that I wasn't going to be able to do what I wanted. So I adopted that. I adopted that as a law. Well, nobody gets to do what they want. So let's try to find something, well, you know, maybe half and half. Half and half would be great.
Right.
Right? So you're settling because of that negative belief. And you see, it was the first piece of information that came out of your mouth. The first thing you said was something, like I said, I got to put in these 8 hours before I get to do what I want. That was the very first statement in your monologue or dialogue or whatever. So you see, the subconscious will usually, when a person's being open and really checking themselves, the subconscious is going to spit it out because you really don't like this pattern. You really, this is what you're not recognizing that you don't even like.
Right.
Yeah. I really don't enjoy myself for 8 hours a day. It's okay. I mean, you know, it gets the job done.
Right.
It's right. It satisfies my needs. Right. I get that money and I need that money. And we all know you got to have money to survive or whatnot. There's multiple beliefs there. But if you're not living out of a set of self-authored values, if you haven't come like let's say right now, if you could tell me, and you might be able to tell me, what would be exciting for you to express as a job? That you would go to work and you'd wake up and you'd be like, I can't wait to get to work. I got another hour before I can go in. You know, like I'm excited.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I was at the Erykah Badu concert like last night, and I was just watching her perform, and I was like, wow, like she gets to, this is her job. She had like these lights going on, like just killing it. Like the music was amazing. And I was like, she gets paid to do this. Like I got to find a way to, I mean, I don't think I don't want to sing. I don't want to do it, what she's doing, but I could do it in my own way, you know?
Yes.
I just don't know what that is.
So tell me, what is it? What? Because here's what it is. What you're seeing her doing is a person that's fully expressed in just the person she is. She's not trying to be, I mean, maybe she is, we don't know. But I mean, apparently the way it looks is she's not trying to be anybody but herself. And she's vulnerably offering that. She's vulnerably showing you that in front of everyone. So there needs to be character and integrity. There has to be a set of rules that I'm not going to break. Like she's not going to sing a song she doesn't feel. She's not going to sing, you see, because she's got boundaries and she's adhering to them, but they're her personal boundaries. Yeah. And these are these ideals and values that the adult has to self-author. You have to know what you want. So you have to think about it now. Now I have to know, because in order to make this choice, it's not just one choice. I just need to choose a better job. You can't do it like that. In space and time, one choice is one point, but there's no volume. How am I going to create the significance for this one choice to take effect? It's by making many, many other choices that uphold this first choice. So if my first choice is, like, let's just say right now, just to move on, you understand, yes, I need a value of being self-expressed. I want to be that open, that free, like what inspired me about her was that. So if self-expression was a value of mine, and I'm not a singer or anything, but what is it that I'm wanting to express? because now you're going to know you're going to get another value. The self-expression is a value, but let's break it down even farther, because that's a value and it can be an ideal. I mean, actually, that's one of my own. But what is it? You see, and while you take this apart, you are taking apart your emotional significance, because what you're really looking at is what sparks me. I have to label it in order to reform it every day. And everything I do, I have to look and say, is this choice going to offer me greater self-expression? Mm. So what kind of expression do you think you'd want to share of yourself?
That's a good question.
Let me hang on to that. Just think of that, because we're going to go on a break while you're thinking, and then we'll get back into it in a minute, okay? So thank you for being online.
Okay, cool.
We're going to take a break. Come right back to you, Dylan.
Okay, cool.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah! Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
Take your own journey with the angels with Claire Candy Hoff's heaven-sent guided angel meditation CD. Letting go of concerns and living in the now. This beautiful CD walks listeners through practical exercises to help free them from the burdens, worries, and concerns of daily life.
Walking a quarter of the way across the bridge, you see a bright emerald green light and sense a loving presence. This is Archangel Raphael's green healing energies, nourishing and revitalizing you. Take a moment now to bathe in this green healing light.
Giving you much more than just relaxation and stress release, this wonderfully narrated CD provides vivid visualization, soothing and inspiring music, and an angel's choir that will bring you peace, clarity, and a newfound awareness. Visit angelhealinghouse.com today.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
We're back on Synergenetic Living Radio. Rick and I are talking with Dylan from Oakland. And in essence, really, I think what's coming up is the saying that Rick often says is the qualities of being there, as in the future that you're wanting to create, are the steps to getting there. And the steps to getting there are the qualities of being there. And so we're helping Dylan kind of identify the qualities in a job, and not only a job, but
the choices that he's making that he's not currently conscious of, right? Like, we have to take that apart so we can understand, because choice really is the fulcrum and keystone, cornerstone and keystone of all change. You cannot make a change without a choice, but once you make a choice, you've got to make more choices. It's not just one choice most of the time. Sometimes, yeah, you can make one big choice and everything changes, but really, it usually requires many more choices around it. Like, if I want to be happy with my job, I got to understand the choice where I'm not happy and I'm not aware of that. And so we're taking that apart right now. So Dylan, did you get a chance to think about that? Did we lose Dylan?
What did you say? What was the
last one? Oh, we got him.
Oh, there you are. So what did you think about self-expression? Like, what is it that you want to express?
You know, this sounds, might sound cliche, but just love, fun, like joy, are those, would you say?
No, totally. So here's what we would do. If you said, what I want to express more of is love. Well, again, you would even want to, that could be an ideal, no problem, no problem at all. Of course, you can use those three things. I think those are perfect because, you know, love is always nice to be expressing and seeing the impact you're having. Fun, if it's not fun, right? I mean, you're in physical reality for fun. I mean, most people don't see it that way. But before you got here, your entire idea was to come here to have fun, to be a creative person and create a reality according to who I am. And joy is great because in order for me to experience joy, I'm going to have to focus on only making choices that are my preferences. You know, as Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you fulfill those needs, belonging and connection and food and water and all these, then, you know, home, you know, places to stay, all these things in the hierarchy of needs, you will be a happy person. Now, happiness, if that's all you go for, will become an addiction over time because you're going to repeat the same thing every day because it makes you happy. But joy breaks the pattern, because joy can only be experienced through a preference. So if I'm going to go for joy and I'm going to go for fun and I'm going to go for love, and those are what I really, really feel good, any decision you make, the exercise would be, is this decision going to offer me an expression of greater love? Is this going to be fun? And is this going to be a preference? Now, if you ask those three questions and that job answers those three questions, you're going to enjoy, you're going to have fun, and you're going to love your job. Because those are not, now somebody else could be like, well, that wouldn't make me excited, because it's not you. You know, and the more of these ideals that you choose, because love, fun, and joy are all ideals. You're never going to be joyful enough, having enough fun, or having enough love. You can always get more of those. And that's what you want to look for in choosing the ideals of the adult. So those choices are great. Now, what brings that gives you character. If those three things are in everything, I know what job I wouldn't be willing to do. I know what relationship I wouldn't be in. I know what I wouldn't eat for dinner anymore, right? Because every choice you make in order to have character and integrity, everything I do should reflect these exciting emotions. Now, if love, fun, and joy were just cool answers to you, you won't have the emotional motivation to incorporate them. And then, you know, if I say fun, and I really, you know, I'm not a very fun person, and I don't have a lot of fun, and I don't go for fun, I think personally that's something to work on. But if that's really at this time in your life not a value, you're not really going to be motivated. Maybe the adolescent thinks, ooh, that's a cool one. Fun is, that's a good one. Everybody's going to love when I say fun, right? Because the adolescent will do that, but the adult will incorporate it easily because you're like, no, those are the three things that thrill me to death. And so those are my ideals. And so now every choice I make, if you're coming from there, you're not going to be coming from the past. You're going to come from real time in the moment. So you see, what's going to happen is character is the rules that you adhere by, and integrity is the frequency that you adhere by them. You know, people are eventually saying, God, Dylan's so fun. He's always so exciting, and he's such a sweet, loving person. When you start hearing that feedback, you know that you're living your values, because reality is beginning to reflect the way that I consistently feel. Is that making sense?
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, I really lit up when you said joy, because that's really the thing that is going to always be changing, and you have to be present with moment to moment. You're like,
right.
Because your preferences change every day, you know?
Today, I might have had joy in doing this exercise. And then when I wake up tomorrow, I'm like, I don't feel the joy in it. So I have to alter it. I have to alter the experience in order to incorporate joy again. And that's why you can never be in a habit if you go for joy. You can only be in a habit going for happiness. Because happiness is a repetitive thing. Joy cannot be a repetitive thing.
It just makes you much more flexible, it sounds like.
Yeah, and still have boundaries.
You can go with the flow way more.
Right. So now when you choose a job, you have to look, am I going to express greater love with this job? Is this going to be more fun, this job? Is this job going to be joyful for me? If the answer is no, then you'd be better off not making that choice until you find something that does. Because you see, when you find that something that does, it's going to be easy and fun, right?
Right.
So, and the more that these ideals, like you could break it down even farther for yourself, like what is it that I really like about love? What really brings me joy? Oh, you know what it is? It's honest communication brings me joy. Yes, that's even more articulated to me, right? So the more you can articulate these emotions inside, the easier it is to be high-vibing, because I'm not doing anything except honoring who I am. And the more I honor it, the more everybody else will too, because you'll create that reality, because it's a high-vibe internal world based in honesty. Not an adaptive adolescent that's trying to figure out what should I do now to get a result. The adolescent's always trying to figure out how to get a result, how to control the environment without looking like I'm controlling, because nobody likes that word. You know, I'm not really controlling. You know, and so if the reality looks like someone's getting upset because you're controlling them on some level, right? So you want to own that. And go, okay, I'm not being loving. If somebody just told me I'm controlling.
No, we're
going to take a break.
No, we're not. We're good.
Okay, never mind. They said I can keep going. I ran right over the next break. So
well, I was excited. Yeah. What I love about love, well, what I've come to understand about love is that love is really in the details. And so when you're really into something or you're loving it, you're going to get so engrossed in it that – like you'll lose track of time. You'll get so involved with the details that it just takes on a life of its own. And I hear so often people are like, I just don't have time for that. Or I can't be bothered. And
yeah, that's because the adolescent is busy controlling everything in order to have my outcome. So I'm not really being in the moment at all because I'm too much into control. And control is the antithesis to love, freedom, and creativity. So if I'm in control, I can't possibly be loving. They don't go together. And so like you can look at your job now and say, okay, using the job I have, how can I express my love? How can I express my fun? And how am I going to express my preference?
I may not even need to go somewhere new. I can
exactly
maybe that completely.
If you have your set of ideals and you can live those, it's not in the job. It's in the function. The job is just a form. It's like art. My job can be painting. I'm a painter, or maybe it's sculpting. It's like your relationship is going to be a different aspect than your job. You're going to have different ways. You're going to have a more intimate way of expressing love, fun, and joy with a significant other than I actually do at work. But fundamentally, I'm operating on the same armature. But I express it differently. So work is painting and my relationship is sculpting. And so I have to think about it. In order for me to be excited and engaged in what's going on, I must have a set of values that I'm operating from, right? And so most people right now have not done anything like this. So they're operating out of the past. So they keep creating patterns. I never create somebody I really like to be with. I never really create a job I like. I don't even live in an apartment with people I like. You know, it goes on and on. And it's because they think there's another idea that, well, you never really like everybody. So I never find everybody to like. I can't create that I like everybody when I have a belief, you know, like no pain, no gain. Well, if I don't feel any pain, I'm not going to give it any value. It's a belief structure. It's not a truth. Nobody has to be in pain to feel joy. Joy is on all on its own. You don't have to feel any pain to know the value of joy. And so if you were to, and the more of these values you come up with, because as you live them, you will come up with more. You'll realize, oh, I get so excited when I'm communicating, or I get so excited to create things. You know, I like to sew, or I like to glue things together, or I like to make whatever, right? A creative outlet. And I realize, gosh, that's so important to me to be creative. So I got to incorporate that. So how can I be creative at this job? The more sophisticated you get, the more sophisticated your choices will be, which brings an elegance to your choices. Because what's going to happen, it's going to be very easy for you to be high vibing. You don't have to be like, oh, I'm in a shithole right now. I got to get my vibration up.
Correct. You won't feel guilty saying no to things because you have positive boundaries. You're like, no,
exactly.
That's not for me. Thank you.
Positive boundaries. Right now, anybody who hasn't created positive boundaries for themselves has to live with limitations of the past, and therefore the past recreates patterns. And it creates patterns to let you know that you need to get out of there. A pattern is just simply your own subconscious giving you something that you don't like anymore, but you haven't bothered to change it. And your subconscious knows it's creating pain, and it's trying to help you, and people are mad. God damn it, I did it again! Right? It's like, and then they go for the blame, and they go for all these avenues that the adolescent used. Yeah, rejecting people, that's how. If people aren't going to love me and be good to me, I just get rid of them. And then before you know it, nobody's good enough anymore, and you're all by yourself. But you're living your belief, right? So these patterns always tell you what's underneath them. You just have to be able to have someone like on the outside that you trust. Like, here's what's happening here. You trust us. You called us. You opened up. And here's your answer. It's in the synergy between all three of us is where this is coming from. There's a relationship that just healed you. It's not me or Grace. But go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, like before this, I was like, wow, it's really all up to me. Like, I have free will and I have to create all of this, you know, but you're making it sound way more graceful, way more easy.
Yeah.
Like you kind of just trust the process. Just look for the hints and clues.
Exactly. Look at your emotions. Your emotions are going to tell you if I'm feeling misunderstood. Ooh, that means I'm a martyr. If I'm feeling unappreciated, my emotional space is in martyr right now. And so I want to punish the people that aren't understanding or appreciating me. I want to punish. I'm going to remove myself, or I'm going to do less for them, because you see, we've been locked in logic and reason for so long. We're not understanding fulfillment is an emotional place to be. It's an emotional space. It's the feminine, and the feminine has been denied and rejected so much in the last, however, couple thousand years or whatever it really is, but it's been a long time, and creating everything in a hierarchy has created limiting the emotional influence. Just think it through. Don't worry about how you're feeling about it. Well, if I don't worry about how I'm feeling, how am I going to feel good about it in the end? Oh, because I made money. That choice led me to money. And yeah, I worked 16 hours a day. I had to divorce my wife. My kids hate me, but I made that money, you know? It's like, no, it's not a sophisticated enough choice. As you were pointing out, the more that you grow, the more sophistication comes, but the more ease comes with sophistication. Evolution is a lifting in complexity. See, you just learned a way to become more complex and realizing, I don't have to change the form. I have to change the function. Does that make sense?
That's awesome. I'm just letting that sink in for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
I already just feel way better just talking to you guys. I think communication is definitely one of them.
I could see that.
Yeah, I could see that too.
Yeah.
You it's definitely one of mine.
Obviously for you guys too, right?
It works for me. Yeah, that's why I'm on the radio. Instead of doing this with all my friends, I said, okay, let's do it on the radio so other people could hear. I could have a greater impact. I can take a greater responsibility in my community. And I still feel safe here at home with my little speaker and stuff on, you know? And I'm working my way out safe. To the same thing I'm talking about you doing, you know? We live this 24/7. This isn't just a shtick for the radio. You know, this is how we live our lives together every day. And we're really just getting more and more comfortable in sharing our own process together.
That's awesome. Has it been fun? Are you guys enjoying yourself?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I do much better when I have a feedback mechanism. Grace and I are feedback mechanisms for each other all day, every day. So when we get a chance to kind of like create something with somebody else, we get to kick in all our ideals with somebody new. So it's a little challenging to live all your ideals when you have less rapport. So you have to be more vulnerably honest. You have to be more put yourself out there. And that's what we're doing is saying, okay, let's be more vulnerable. Let's put it out there. You know, I don't care if somebody calls and wants to argue and says, this is the stupidest shit I ever heard. What are you talking about? I'm like, okay, what's stupid about it? I would want to go through it because I want to learn
know.
Too.
Yeah,
good. Thank you for saying that. Can we work that through together?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to work it through with my own system. It's the one that I've developed. It's the one I understand. It's the one that I've seen work thousands of times, you know, and that's what it is. It's a philosophy. I don't expect everybody to call and necessarily buy everything I'm saying, but I'd say, well, call and let's go over it and see how it stands up because I want to see it too. I want to see what's the impact of this philosophy. What are people getting stuck? Maybe they'll bring something up that I'm like, wow, I had never thought of that. I got to figure out how to incorporate that. I have to make my system more complex. And I'm always ready to do that. I'm always ready. I'm listening for it constantly. How do I make this philosophy? That's why I say, okay, we have tenets in this philosophy because we need boundaries. But at the same time, I don't know. Right now there's like 12. Maybe there'll be 20 in the end. You know, they're going to come as I learn. But I feel extremely confident in my healing and my teaching of this, and I haven't really gotten stuck for a very long time. And so I'm saying, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to share now. And I really appreciate you calling. It made the show much more fun for me.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah?
That's love getting feedback.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it too.
Yeah, so I really appreciate
you guys were first getting into
Go ahead.
Yeah. When you guys were first getting into your values, how did you like kind of what did you do to like really explore them more? Like when you were first coming up with this and first learning about this, how did you kind of like, oh, this is my value right here?
I'm going to explain this quick because I literally have 1.5 minutes. So I'm going to just slam it out.
All right, let's go.
On self-reflection, when you really start getting into your emotional state, is your fulfilled state. And I have to be conscious of that emotional state. So the first thing you're going to look at is, what are the emotions I like? What are the ideals like communication, love, freedom, whatever your set is?
What comes easy to you?
What makes you excited when I think about it? Not just, yeah, that's cool. You have to really feel an emotional charge to the ideal. If you feel an emotional charge, living the ideal is going to be an emotionally charged experience in a very natural way. So the way you do that is you just find the things that excite you and you have to sit down and think. Like sometimes you'll just be in a conversation and be all thrilled to death and go, you know, what was exciting about that was they did this and I was doing this. And you know what? I want that as a value. And then you have to jump in and you have to add that to your repertoire, to your character. So you go off of the emotions that are exciting, that fulfill you in a positive way. And the more of those you string together, the easier and more elegant it is to keep it together. And the easier you understand being an adult has nothing to do with anything in the past. It has to do with the future that I'm looking for. So you start focusing on a future where I feel great all the time. And this is how I feel great all the time, by the functions I'm living. So all I got to do now is creatively pick a form. Just pick the form.
All right. I hate to wrap it up.
I got to go.
We can do this all day.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in, Dylan. I want to thank everyone else for tuning in to Synergenetic Living Radio. We had a wonderful time. And if you'd like to contact us, you can find us on the web, www.synergeneticliving.com. And join us every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. And I hope you all have a great week. See you next time.
Bye.
Tune in on Transformation Talk Radio for the latest on Synergenetic Living Radio with Rick and Grace Paris. Learn how to get clear on the life you desire. Synergenetic Living is a living, breathing, conscious experience. Rick and Grace will teach you the art of utilizing the future to create the now with a sense of artistic and absolute power, having dominion without domination. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, or to download an episode of Synergenetic Living Radio, visit synergeneticliving.com.